my mic off because I didn't want you to hear me singing, but I'll turn it back on. But when you think of the words of that song, pierced by thorns and scorned by men and torn by nails and crushed by God, and then to think that what He did for us, He would choose us to serve Him. He would allow us to be His servants. He would call us to serve Him. That's an amazing thought. If any man would serve me, let him follow me. I hope that you've made that decision to be His servant. Before you can decide to serve Him, you need to reckon on the fact that He's your Savior. He wants to be your Savior, your personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you haven't settled that issue. We pray that you would. And let one of us help you from the Word of God, just show you in a brief time how you can know for sure you're saved. But after that, God wants us to sign on for service. He wants us to be enlisted and to follow Him and to serve Him as He bade His disciples to come. So I want to just thinking about that today. I want to talk about serving the Lord and serving one another, as our text said in Galatians 5 and verse 13. By love, serve one another. And a simple three or four statements about that, because as we serve one another, we do serve Him. He's called us to serve one another, Paul says. So I want to talk about this service today, if we could, and just think about it with me briefly. Number one, I want to talk about the empowerment. He says it in our text, by love, serve one another. So there's the empowerment. We cannot do it on our own strength. We want to serve self. We're looking out for number one. And so when I think about by love, serve one another, my thoughts turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It gives us the biblical characterization of what love is, godly love. And that love is set forth in verses 4 through 8 in 1 Corinthians 13. It's a kind of love that causes us to be long-suffering one with another. It teaches us not to be vaunted up or think more highly of ourselves than we should, not puffed up. We do not behave ourselves unseemly toward one another. We seek not our own, but the welfare of others. We're not easily provoked. We think no evil. We rejoice not in iniquity. We're not anxious to hear that somebody else has fallen or stumbled, but we rejoice in truth. We bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. So by love, serve one another. This is our empowerment. Proverbs 11:24 says, "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, and it tendeth to poverty." In other words, the more we give, the more we have. The more we spend, the more full we are. That's just a principle of God's supply. So, by love, by this empowering principle, serve one another. By His strength, for His grace, for His glory, and by His Spirit's power, serve. Be a minister too. And I'll get into that in just a minute. I heard about in the Philippines, in Manila, there is a memorial park commemorating the U.S. Armed Forces and members of those armed forces who gave their lives in World War II. The names are inscribed on a marble pillar of those men who died, men and women who died in the service of our country in the Philippines. And to each man there was given on this particular marble memorial, to each name there, there had been given a Congressional Medal of Honor. So the list went down, and as the person who related this read it, there was a man whose name was Walter Peterson. And by his name, these words were inscribed, Chief Water Bearer. Chief Water Bearer. Well, that's not something you think of receiving a Congressional Medal for. But it was an important job in the service of his country at that time. He was a man who carried water. He was a servant. He was in the service of his country. serving in the cause of freedom and liberty. He was in the armed forces, and he is remembered today for just the menial task of bearing water. His name is inscribed there for generations to come to see. That's what service sometimes just entails. And how can we do that? How can we bear water and be happy? How can we bear water and be fulfilled? How can we give ourselves to such? Well, we can do it by love, because we love Him first, and we love others also because His love is flowing through us and working out through us. So number one, the empowerment of this kind of service is our text, by love. By His love, by pure love, by holy love, by love from God flowing through us that causes us to give and to spend and to be spent on some other person than ourselves. It's a great thing. Number two, not only is there the empowerment, I see the empowerment of love, but which is, by the way, pure, as I've said, and powerful, and perfect. 1 Corinthians 13, it's perfect. Never fails. But secondly, we'll talk about the example. The example, of course, of love is Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We need to look no further than our Savior for the supreme, sterling, superb example of what this text is talking about. By love, serve one another. And we see it in verse 18 is just one place I want to look at. Jesus Christ went to His hometown and opened up the Bible, the Word of God, the Old Testament, Isaiah. But notice it says in verse 16, He came to Nazareth where He'd been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. It was delivered to Him the book of Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty the under bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Just make a list there in your mind, if not on the paper. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to do. I came from the glories of heaven. I came from being with my Father, always enjoying fellowship with Him. I came to this world and took upon myself flesh and grew up in Nazareth. And now I began my public ministry, my ministry of teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I've been sent by God and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, everything He did was under the control of the Spirit. To preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captives. Not really a very glorious ministry for the Messiah of God, the Prince of Glory. That's what Jesus said, I have come to do. Recovering of sight to the blind, praise God, He did that. Not only physically, but spiritually, most of all spiritually. And then to set at liberty those who were captive. And He set at liberty all of us who were once bound by the bondage of sin and chains of sin. Those of us who have come to Christ in faith believing, He set us at liberty. Glory to God. So this is what He came to do. His incarnation was all about His earthly ministry. Ron White, the missionary that we support to Japan for 40 years, said, we do not serve Him to get something. We serve Him because we've got something. Amen. We've received sight spiritually. We receive liberty. We have been made whole and healthy spiritually. And so because the Lord Jesus came, and so our example of serving is Jesus Christ Himself, none other than He. We need look no further. He's our example. By the way, Jesus taught a seminar on serving. Would you go to Matthew chapter 20? We go to seminars today sometimes to learn astute things. And here is a seminar, and I don't know, this is not my message, but I want to just allude to it and show you five things that Jesus taught about serving. And not only taught by word or by lecture, but by His life, of course. So he's teaching other people how to serve. By the way, the capstone of this whole passage, verse 28, even, and these are the words of Jesus, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to or to serve, to be served, but to serve and give his life a class ransom for many. He's the great example. I did not come for people to wait on me. I came to serve people. So when we get saved, we're called to serve. Amen? Amen, brother. We're not called to be given to, but to give out. Yep. We're not called to be taken care of, but to take care of other people who have needs all around us. We live in a needy society, as Jesus did. I came to heal. I came to preach. I came to set at liberty. I came to give sight to the blind. And there are people all around us who have physical, material, temporal, and greater spiritual needs that we can help meet. We can touch them. We can pray for them. We can pray with them. We can extend us a helping hand. So here's a seminar on service, just quickly. First of all, we are more like Christ. We are most like Christ when we're serving. That's verse 28. We just read it. We are most like Jesus when we are serving. He served. That was what he came to do. That's what he loved to do. Right up to the end of his life, brief public ministry, he was serving his disciples, washing their feet, praying for them in the garden when they arrested him to go to Calvary, praying for us, and praying for them. We are most like, you want to be like Jesus? I hope so. You want to go on to perfection? You want to go grow up and be considered by our Lord a mature believer? Then get it settled in your heart and mind. I'm going to be a servant. And I would be proud to be a servant. It's not something begrudgingly I'm going to take upon myself. Oh, okay, I'll serve if I've got to. No. It's I'm going to serve with joy. And with privilege. Secondly, the highest, noblest, greatest ministry is serving. I don't have time, but that's just verse 26, 27. You can jot that down. I'm not going to preach this text. We're just going to give you these five principles out of this text. You can look them up. Ministry, number three. Ministry is not about authority. It's about serving. These disciples thought it was about who's going to be in charge. Notice what Jesus said. To this argument, verse 25, Jesus called to them, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great. They that are great exercise authority, but it shall not be so among you." Don't think in those terms, he said. Get that idea. Disabuse yourself of that concept of serving, of getting a position of authority and a title. Having somebody wait on you. No, he said, that's Gentiles. That's the way the heathen think. This is not so with you. Ministry is not about authority. It's about serving one another. Whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. He said in verse 26. Amen, fourthly, in order to serve effectively, you've got to quit looking at other servants. Other servants, well, hey, what's he doing? What's she doing? Oh, well, wait a minute. I don't like... Get your eyes off servants. Where's that in the text? Well, notice verse 24. Verse 24. When the 10 disciples heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Because they had their eyes on other servants. Wait a minute. What about these guys? They want to sit one on the right, one on the left. Well, how could they do that? Why would they ask that? And so they got upset, and their service was hindered and limited, because when we're looking at somebody else, what they're doing or not doing, we're not looking to him. Amen? If we serve the Lord, we got to look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our master. Our sole thought is, how can I please him? Is what I'm doing pleasing him? That's it. We too often look at some other servant. Preachers look at other preachers. Yeah, but he's not doing it the way I would do it. So what? He answers to the Lord. Amen? Okay, number five, and I move on. This is a seminar in servanthood, Jesus' teaching. The place of our service, what, where, when, and how, is God's to determine, not ours. Verse 23, he said to them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand, on my it's not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared by the Father. So don't worry about the place, the when, the where, the what. Just get your directions from God. We would say today from the Holy Spirit. So that's the example of service, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I want to talk about the expression of our service. How does it work out on a day-by-day basis? Well, the expression is to our brethren, to one another, by love serve one another, to our neighbors. I preached on another occasion, I don't have the verses now, but the multitudinous verses in it that speak of one another, pray for one another, love one another, encourage one another. We're in a one another business. One another. Somebody in the family of God hurts, we hurt. Somebody suffers, we suffer. Somebody loses a setback, we suffer a setback. At least that's the way it should be. That's the way I think it was designed to be. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Paul is writing his last words, as it were, swan song. And notice what he says. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke. Take Mark. That's John Mark, who, by the way, Paul dismissed from service. And they went out on their second missionary journey because Mark bailed out on the first one halfway through and proved to be unprofitable for that missionary on his second missionary journey. So Paul took Silas and Barnabas took Mark and they split up and had two teams. But notice late in his ministry, as he's getting ready to leave this world, time of my departure is at hand, he said. What did he say about Mark? Bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for ministry. God's done a work in his heart, and God's done a work on my heart, Paul would say. And he's still profitable. He's still profitable to me, to the Apostle Paul. For what? For ministry. God's service can still be benefited. He did drop out, but he's grown. He's changed. He's going on to perfection. So there's hope for all of us. We've all blown it. We've all could look back and say, boy, I messed that up. I disappointed myself. I know I disappointed my Heavenly Father. That job I did do and I didn't do it well, or that job I didn't do that He wanted me to do. So we could just sit and soak up in self-pity and say, well, I can't be used. There's nothing else to do. No. We can take heart. Bring Mark because he's profitable to me. He's grown. He's moving on toward maturity. And he's got a job that he can do for me. Remember that person that was saved in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, I think it is. And he was so dramatically saved, he wanted to go with Jesus. He was from Decapolis. Jesus cast out unclean spirits from him. But notice in the Mark chapter 5, verse 19, when he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to join your ministry. I want to follow you. I want to be as close to you as I can be. Well, who wouldn't want to be? And Jesus said, you go home to your friends. They need somebody to minister to them. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. You can serve right here. Sometimes he calls us to go to Brazil, like we heard last week, the missionary. Or Africa, like Michelle is certain. But sometimes he says, just go home. People right here in Indianapolis need you to serve. There are people who need to hear the gospel here. People at your workplace, people in your neighborhood, people in your household, people in your family, your larger family. Hey, just go home and serve. not only those who are in full-time service serve. Not only those who are on far-flung mission fields serve. Not only those who have degrees in Bible training serve. Not only those who fill pulpits and stand behind. Not only those serve. No, everybody's called to serve. Amen. Everybody has the privilege to serve. If any man will come after me, if any man will serve me, let him come after me, let him follow me. Are you a servant today? Are you a servant? You say, I don't know that I'm qualified. Are you saved? You're qualified. You're qualified. What's required of a servant? Moreover, it's required of a servant that a man be found. Class? Faithful. Faithful. Anybody can do that. You can do it. Bill Bright founded Campus Crusade for Christ. He died a few years ago after a prolonged illness of pulmonary fibrosis, a progressive lung disease that took his life slowly and gradually. He writes a testimony. He said, I was told the average remaining life of someone with pulmonary fibrosis is 3 years and at the most 5. That time has almost expired, he writes, toward the end of his life. Many people, aware of my physical condition, thought I would be gone from this world a lot earlier than this, he said. But like Mark Twain, who said after reading his obituary in the paper, rumors of my death had greatly been exaggerated. He said, I'm still here. In fact, I've passed 2 years. He said, the past 2 years have been among the most productive of my life, as I've been able to keep a vigorous schedule of writing, editing, producing, teaching videos, some traveling and speaking, and even the co-founding of the Global Pastors Network, a strategy to help start 5 million house churches worldwide. Of course, if the Lord tarries, my day to enter glory will eventually come. What a wonderful day that will be, but it is a win-win situation for me. Dying, I know he had opportunities that we wouldn't have, most of us, but he was still serving the Lord, thinking of ways he could still get the gospel out, thinking of ways he could start churches, even when he was terminal. Most of us aren't. Yet, we all are, but we don't know it yet. What time and place and cause. So, what are you doing? You don't have to be a Bill Bright. You just be John Doe, Sister Sally. What are you doing in the place you are with the opportunities you have to serve the Lord? The expression of serving is others. By love, serve one another. That's how it's expressed. We can have a servant. If we have a servant's heart, we've got to serve. I know he's gifted some of you to be servants. That's your spiritual gift, ministering. But that doesn't let the rest of you off, the rest of us off. If we may not have the gift of ministering, that's just a special gift like teaching or giving or stewardship or administration. He's given some people just a special gift of ministry. You know that's just them. They can't be happy unless there's some people over in the kitchen right now getting your dinner ready to set out so that when we're done here, they volunteered to do it. They would probably not hear what I'm saying if they were sitting here because their hearts would be over there. I got to get ready. I got to get dinner ready. There's something I could be doing. But that doesn't let us off the hook. We all are supposed to serve in some capacity, serve one another by love. Lonely O'Wire said, anybody remember Lonely O'Wire? Yeah. He said this, he said, I spent over half my life serving God. This is toward the end of his life. The last half, he said, if I had it to do over again, I'd do twice as much. Well, he didn't have it to do over. He said that toward the end of his life. Wasn't saved the first half. At least wasn't living as though he were saved. But he got right with God toward the middle of his life and said, I've served him the last half. And if I had it to do over, I'd do twice as much. Don't wait till you get there to say that. Just say it today. I'm going to do twice as much. At least I'm going to get active and I'm going to start serving. I can do something. I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting. I'm receiving. But I'm going to start serving. You'll never grow into, you'll never go into perfection. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about being full grown in Christ until you're serving. It's the heart of Christianity. It was the essence of who Jesus was. He came to be a minister. Made himself of no reputation. Took on himself the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of sinful man. So he could serve us. That's the expression. Number four. The enjoyment. Oh my. Is it fun? You bet it is. It's enjoyable. Why? Because we know when we're serving, we're fulfilling Christ's life. We've seen that in Matthew 20, 20. The Son of Man came to minister. This is what he was about. So when we are involved in his service, we're carrying on what he would want us to carry on. Taking up his torch of service, as it were. Not only that, we're fulfilling the law of the Christ law. He said, if you fulfill the royal law of Scripture, James chapter 2, verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law of Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Want to do well? Get busy serving. Love your neighbors yourself. We serve ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We look after ourselves. And so Jesus said, that's the royal law. If you want to fulfill it, get busy. Find somebody to serve. Somebody that needs some encouragement. Somebody that needs a prayer warrior, a prayer partner. Somebody that needs some counsel. Somebody that maybe needs some material help. Some shut in that needs a visit. Somebody needs something that we can serve. There is a dear missionary. His name is Matthew Thomas, missionary to India. He had a great job in Denver a few years back, making good money. He and his family had migrated here from Germany, from India. And he attended a fundamental church like ours, in fact, pastored by a friend of ours, Dr. Ed Nelson, South Sheridan Baptist Church at that time. He got under the sound of Bible preaching, and he got convicted. He got burdened for his people in India. He started praying, oh God, would you please take somebody over there with the gospel to my people? Matthew Thomas was a faithful bus worker. In fact, he was saved because somebody, South Sheridan, came out in his neighborhood inviting people to come to church. And he accepted the invitation, his wife Sophie, and they attended the services and heard the gospel and responded and were saved. He was from a Hindu background. His family in India are Hindu. And so he said, oh God, and he got active in the bus ministry there at South Sheridan and became a soul winner. And then started praying for his people in India. And you know what God did? He said, Matthew, you go. And Matthew said, okay, Lord. So he sold his house and quit his job in Denver, made good money there, and took his wife Sophie to India. And they've been over there probably 25 years. I don't think I ever had him come here. I might have to present his work, but I've known him all those years. Godly man, slight built, soft-spoken. His wife died a couple of years ago, and he's still carrying on. He's very feeble. In fact, Dr. Bud Stedman, director of Baptist World Mission, just recently, and they sent a video out, and I watched it, was there, and Brother Thomas was sitting in a chair. He was just able to sit up barely, and Dr. Stedman read him a citation and honoring him as a faithful ministry, a missionary. Very moving. But somebody said, Brother Thomas, what's been the highlight of your experience as a Christian? What's been the highlight? Probably thinking being a missionary, probably thinking planting churches, because he was instrumental in planting many churches in India over the past 25 years. To the question, what's been the highlight of your experience as a believer? He said, the highlight of my whole Christian life has been being in the bus ministry at South Sheridan Baptist Church. Being in the bus ministry. Being a missionary? No. Yeah, being a missionary in Denver. Going out Saturdays and whatever other days and winning people to Christ. That's been the highlight. Planting churches in it? Oh, nope. The highlight's got to be. The best time of my life was being a bus worker at South Sheridan Baptist Church. Wow. He was serving the Lord and happy in the service of the King. Walt Hendrickson said in his book, Disciples Are Made, Not Born, when Christ voluntarily gave His life on the cross some 2,000 years ago, He did not die for a cause. He died for people. He died for people like you and me. He came and gave Himself a ransom for many people. That's why He died. Servant of servants. Lord, let me not die until I've done for Thee my earthly work, whatever it may be. Call me not hence with mission unfulfilled. Let me not leave my space of ground untilled. Impress this truth upon me that not one can do my portion that I leave undone. Not one can do my portion that I leave undone. God's got a job for you. And I wouldn't want to leave this earth until I have given every ounce of my being to getting that job done the way He wanted me to do it. Whether it be a missionary, pastor, godly layman, housewife, mother, servant to many. By love serving one another. Father in heaven, would you speak to our hearts this morning about our need to serve? It's not a glorious, glamorous, it's not glamorous, but it is glorious. It's not a glamorous calling to be a servant. But oh, it's glorious when we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is glorious. And the world doesn't look upon it as glamorous. To be identified with Jesus Christ and to be considered the offscouring of the earth. But we consider it to be a great privilege. And some, I'm sure, recognize that they were saved to serve, but they haven't found their place of service. They've become so preoccupied with good things that they have left undone the better things. And they need to really get on their knees today, Lord, and say, oh God, here I am. Lord, what would you have me to do? If I can serve one another, if I can serve somebody else, then I'll do it. But you've got to show me. You've got to give me the power. You have to give me the direction. But here I am. Take me. Use me. I am a tool in your hands. Nothing more, nothing less. My time is yours. Holy. Unreservedly. My life is in your hands. I am willing, Father, to be spent, to spend and to be spent. Let me serve. And so let me live that I would live as Jesus, to give myself in the service of the King. Help us to pray that prayer. Many might want to pray it on bended knee at this altar, old-fashioned altar, before they leave this place this morning. If that would please you, then I pray it would happen. Someone might need to come today, Father, and say, I need to be saved. If Jesus did that for me, came, died for me, I want to accept Him as my Savior. Oh, I pray that would be the case with some today. In Jesus' name, amen.